We share with you what it is we claim to believe here at Daleville Christian Church. And this affirmation of our faith together from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 and 10. We are God's own people, that we may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Reading of God's word today is from the letter called 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, the first 11 verses, where the Apostle Paul writes, "By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am considered timid when face to face with you, but considered bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You are looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he. For even if I boast somewhat freely about the authority the Lord gave us for building you up rather than pulling you down, I will not be ashamed of it. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say, well, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will help you. I believe that Jesus will help you today if you ask him to. Now, Jesus will help you today. I didn't say that Jesus would solve all your problems today. But I did say that Jesus will help you today. I have a book on my shelf entitled Prayers Jesus Always Answers. And one of those prayers is simply, Jesus, help me. And there's a reason that Jesus will help you today. The Lord loves you. This morning we return to a favorite topic here at Daleville Christian Church, phrases or sayings that are not in the Bible. These are common expressions, and some people do often attribute them to being in God's Word, being in the Bible, when in fact they are not. For example, cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the Bible. That's not written in the Bible. Doesn't appear there. Or how about this one? God helps those who help themselves. Also a phrase not in the Bible. What we have discovered in the Bible is that God helps the helpless. Our God helps the helpless. Here's another common phrase, but it's not in the Bible. Following Jesus is easy. Now, I don't know if anyone says that, but people often tell themselves that, or they think it to themselves, that following Jesus is easy. Well, that's not in the Bible. We here at Daleville Christian Church believe that following Jesus is not complicated, but that's different than thinking following Jesus is easy. The word easy is not even in the Bible. Hear me. The word easy is not even in the Bible. We are a society that loves and looks forward to being at our ease. Almost every commercial in our media will tell us that the product they are selling is easy. easy to use, easy to apply, easy to work. But easy is not a Bible word. Okay, you're thinking, well, how about the word simple? Well, the word simple in the Bible is never associated with a godly way of life. Here's what Jesus did say. What Jesus did say was, "Take my burden upon you, for my burden is light." Jesus did not say that following him was easy or simple. Jesus said, "My burden is light." What was Jesus talking about? Well, remember what else Jesus said about the Pharisees, that they give men burdens hard or impossible to carry? Luke chapter 11, verse 46, Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Jesus uses the image of a yoke. A yoke was an ancient tool, not all that ancient, actually. Still using them in the United States in the 19th century, but usually yoked animals, two animals together had a yoke, and so they shared the burden of the pulling or the weight. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." That means Jesus will help us. We don't carry the burden ourselves. We don't carry the burden alone. We are yoked with Jesus, and Jesus will help us. And that is one reason Jesus says his burden is light, because he's carrying it with you. Now, what kind of burdens did the Pharisees place on people that were so hard to carry? Well, rules, lots of rules. Tithe, you know, give a tenth of your income. Well, not only give a tenth of your income, tithe your garden produce. I asked in a sermon once, what if people did that? What if we all brought in one-tenth of our garden produce? Would we even know what to do with a basket full of kale? Does our Lord want rutabagas in the offering? What would our treasurer Steve do with mint or parsley or cumin? And some of you probably are saying, "Pastor, what is cumin?" Well, it's a savory spice, and Jesus mentioned it as something the Pharisees make sure to bring in as an offering. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." But our Lord Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Compared to the Pharisees, Jesus' burden is light. Because the Pharisees gave burdens, and to follow those burdens, to do those burdens, to fulfill those burdens, that allowed you to have a relationship with God. But Jesus says, "You're already beloved of God, so follow me in and through that love." Jesus said, "You're already beloved of God. Follow Jesus in and through that love. He'll help you." I would just add that the word peace is in the Bible over 200 times and almost 100 times in the New Testament. So it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Peace Jesus does give. Now, we have established that following Jesus is not easy, because the word easy is not in the Bible. It's still a loving service. But notice in just three verses in today's Bible reading, notice the words the apostle uses: wage war, weapons, divine power, demolish strongholds. He uses the word demolish twice. And it is we, the believers, who are waging war. Apparently following Jesus is not a walk in the park. The good news is that we are given divine power to live a life in Jesus Christ. We're given divine power to live out that new life that Jesus gives. I quoted IU basketball coach Tom Crean more than once. It's difficult to live what you believe, Tom Crean said. It's difficult to live what you believe, and he says, it's only going to get harder. It's only going to get harder. It's getting harder to love. Now, Christians have always said, you need a personal faith in Jesus. Yes, you do. You do need a personal faith in Jesus. But you're not supposed to live that faith alone. Yes, you need a personal faith in Jesus, but you're not supposed to live that faith alone. Jesus never intended that you go it alone. Jesus never designed his discipleship, his followership, to be done alone. What we're going to discover in the coming decades is that this me and Jesus attitude is only going to leave us isolated and afraid. We, the followers of Jesus, are not supposed to go it alone. Even a righteous remnant mentioned in Scripture, it was a bunch of people, not one person. We've been singing the old hymn correctly, but it's poorly written. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. It should be that we are standing on the promises of God. That's correct. What do we say in this worship service? Let us affirm our faith together. You're not in this alone at all. Saints, apostles, teachers, those of us here now who stand with you. Friends, it better be that we are standing on the promises, that we are standing on the promises of God, as Jesus intended. I say it all the time at funerals, heaven does not have one person in it. Most people want to have more people in heaven. Then why do we walk the earth alone in faith? If we want to be together in heaven, why would we want to walk the earth alone in faith? People neither receive encouragement nor are they able to give encouragement because they cut themselves off from the body of Christ. They cannot build up the body of Christ, as the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the church in Ephesus, states, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We are members of a body, of a greater whole, but we're just parts. Each of us are just parts of a greater whole, but we are joined together in the body of Christ. A few verses later, it says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And to the church in Galatia, the apostle wrote, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The burden is light, because it is a shared burden. Many of us at some point will be struck by one or more major life traumas, including disease, a serious automobile accident, the sudden death of a loved one, a natural disaster, and we can now add to that list an act of terrorism or random violence. Some of you here today have lived through some of these traumatic events, either for yourself or a loved one. Jesus told us that storms would come in our life. When terrible things do happen to us, we quickly ask the why questions. Why should this trauma overtake me? Why should this trauma happen to me now? I only confess that our Lord has never been especially keen at explaining why things are rolling the way that they roll. There are some answers for the big picture. The world has fallen, we're living in sin, we're living in the grip of the evil one. But the more important question, after we get through the why me question stage, is the what question stage. As in, what are you going to do about it now? What now? We could say that this is the question life asks us. What are you going to do? It's a question that our Lord also wants us to answer. Now that storms have come, as Jesus said they would, what are you going to do? Some people might even be surprised that we all can do something in the face of life's disasters. The study of those who have survived trauma is now a science. It's the science of resilience. This science has studied hurricane survivors, 9/11 survivors, prisoners of war survivors, survivors of violent and criminal acts. I find this topic fascinating, but I can't take the whole sermon talking about it. I just point you to one of the findings of the science of what is called resilience. One of the 10 factors in being more resilient is religious faith. It is defined as that essential human ability to directly experience God, solace, and ability to cope with hardship or trauma may be found in formal worship service and or private spiritual practice that connect a person with God. Friends, I'm preaching from the Bible, but I'm able also to quote science on this point. Or let me put it another way, what the Bible says is true. From the book of Nahum, the prophet Nahum, the Lord is good. A refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And the psalmist will write, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you." Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Psalms also say the Lord also will be a refuge in times of trouble. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. That's from Proverbs. In Psalm, the writer of Psalms confesses, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart." A direct experience with God. That is what we at Daleville Christian Church want for you. We want it to be available in worship. It's to be available to you in prayer on Monday evenings. It is to be available for you wherever you go, and it's free. Our Lord Jesus paid the price so that you and I may enter our Heavenly Father's kingdom. It isn't in the future. It starts here and right now. It's the new life that we've been given to live. The chapter in the book on resilience is entitled Religion and Spirituality, Drawing on Faith, and it gives you practical suggestions. Set aside a time for prayer. Make a regular habit of reading Scripture. Designate a location. Practice a creative form like singing. All of these we do in the worship at Daleville Christian Church. Now, friends, it's one thing if these two authors were pastors, but they are not. They are scientists. One is professor of psychiatry at Yale University School of Medicine. I know it isn't Duke University, but it's a pretty good medical school, just the same. And the other author is the dean of Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York City. They are giving you the tools to survive and thrive what life throws at us. All of these things are found in the church. A church that wants to follow Jesus. A church that Jesus said He will build. Allow me to finish with a few examples in the book. Colonel Robbie Reisner was a POW during the Vietnam War. He says that prayer was an important mechanism to connect with loved ones. He wrote, "I would pray not only for my family, but also for each one of the prisoners that I knew of." Reisner also mentioned using prayer during times he was being tortured. He would quote Bible verses to himself during his torment, depending on the Lord's promise, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I hope I don't break into tears as I tell you this one, and I don't care what your politics are, but Senator John McCain was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. McCain wrote, "To guard against such despair in our most dire moments, POWs would make a supreme effort to grasp our faith tightly, to profess it alone in the dark and hasten its revival. Once, when I was thrown into another cell after long and difficult interrogation, I discovered scratched into one of the cell's walls the creed, "I believe in God the Father Almighty." Believers supporting believers. Dozens of prisoners against prison rules held religious service. Men from all over the prison who weren't able to attend the service but heard the service going on and heard the singing joined in the singing. Bob Schumacher was a senior officer at the dreaded Hanoi Hilton prison. He offered the following advice when a new POW arrived in the cell next to him. "The first thing you need around here, buddy, is faith. I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to try to convert you. I'm just going to tell you the truth. If you can't tap into a source of strength and power greater than yourself, you're probably not going to make it." The psalmist wrote, "The Lord also will be a refuge in times of trouble. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him, acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct your paths." Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Carry each other's burdens. And in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For Jesus said, "I will build my church." Amen.